called Family Heroes, and I thought it was very appropriate. I was stressing, Lord, what would you like me to say? And then I had to stop stressing. And then he just showed me these scriptures, and I thought, yes, this is perfect for today. So we've witnessed a beautiful dedication. And you know, guys, family is so important to God. He puts us in families, and we're a church family. We recognize that we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we belong to the family of God. And so we're going to look at a couple of scriptures in Hebrews. Now, this chapter, it's chapter 11. Okay, and this chapter of the Bible is known as God's Hall of Faith, or in my Bible, the heading says Great Examples of Faith. These people, God lists in this chapter certain names of people who distinguished themselves in the kingdom of God by their bold achievements and acts of great courage. It's like heaven's roll call of outstanding winners, outstanding achievers, men like David, who slew the giant Goliath, men like Joshua, who prayed with such fervency that the sun stood still, men like Samson, who defeated 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. And its list goes on, and it lists these heroes of faith and their accomplishments. Some defeated armies, others took cities. Some raised people from the dead. And like Elijah, he prayed fervently that it would rain after 3.5 years of drought. And yet, in the middle of these amazing accomplishments, there are two names that I've highlighted for today's message. And actually, they sort of seem out of place, because it's like, well, they didn't really fit the status, except for the things that they did was saving their families. And so God thought that's enough to put them in the hero's book in chapter 11 of Hebrews. They didn't do mega miracles. They didn't take cities or conquer giants or kill armies, but they had faith. And because in God's eyes they had faith not only to save themselves but to save their families. And God loves families. The trouble is, we have a devil who hates families, and the devil will always try. His main aim is to come in and destroy families, cause division, cause offence, and destroy them from talking to each other. And we can all probably put up our hand and say, we've had trouble in our families. And that's what the devil does. He loves to cause offence and disunity. And with all that is going on in the world today regarding the gender situation, the devil is targeting our children, precious little children, and all grandchildren, I could say, to most of us. But God showed us examples of these people that we're going to talk about in a minute, and that was so important that he put them in the Bible, just as important as Samson or Gideon or David, and because they've made it to the book of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read about the first one, verse 31. And the scripture says, it was by faith, remember that word faith, that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to some spies. Yes, Rahab was a prostitute. Other versions call her a harlot. But the Bible says it straight out. She was a prostitute, and God put that detail in there because he calls it what it is. But you know, there is nothing in your family's background that is more powerful than God's grace and mercy. And it doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've done yourself. God can turn you and your family into heroes of faith for his sake. So this is a little bit about Rahab's story. There was a guy named Joshua, and he had a new generation of Israelite people, and they were camping at the edge of the promised land that they were about to take over and go in and conquer the land. And Joshua secretly sent out two spies to check it out. especially around the city of Jericho, before he took his army and he sent these spies. And so the men, these two spies, they went into this city, and they had to find somewhere to hide, and they found a house, and it was Rahab, the prostitute's house. She took them in and allowed them to stay the night. But someone saw her and reported it to the king, and so orders were sent to Rahab to hand over the men. But Rahab knew that there was something different about these men. Rahab and her people had heard of all the amazing things that God had done for Joshua and his people, and they feared them. She recognized that these men were godly men, and she desired and admired their courage. And she probably thought, well, their God was out of her reach because of her being a prostitute. But we know, don't we, that our God is faithful to give grace and mercy to all people. Rahab, she'd hidden these men on the rooftop when the guards came to approach her and say, I've heard you've got the spies here, which took immense faith for her, because she could have been killed if they found out that they were there. But she managed to convince the guards that the spies had left. Now, she agreed to keep them hidden in her house overnight until it was safe for them to leave. Now, she could have asked for something in return, like good deeds or money or titles or privileges, property, because they were coming in to take over the land, but she asked for none of these things. She said to them, I want you to save all my household, all my family, and then she starts naming them all. This prostitute had the courage to say, I know my family's messed up. I know I'm bad. I know I've done terrible things and I have a terrible reputation. But she knew in her heart that if she let these men in, they represented the promises of God and the promises of forgiveness and salvation. Let's just read in Joshua what they say. Verses 8 to 13. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the rooftop to talk with them. I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We're all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No wonder no one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Now swear to me by the Lord, she says, that you will be kind to me and my family since I've helped you. Give me some guarantee. When Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and my mother and my brothers and sisters and all their families. She made them promise that they would save her and her entire family. The men, they took this oath, they took it seriously, but they left her some instructions. They said, we'll escape out the window down a rope, but I want you to tie a scarlet ribbon. And this scarlet ribbon represented the blood of Jesus, which is a protection. God talks about the blood that he shed for us. It protects us. When we're under the blood, it covers us. So they said, when we go down this rope, you tie a scarlet ribbon to this rope and leave it there. And then they said, go and get your entire family and get them all together in the house. They stressed to her, your family must be in the house, so that when they returned to take this city, they would see this scarlet cord and they would pass it by, and she and her household will be saved. Her job was to fasten the cord and get her family in the house. And she did that. You see, the house here represents the house of God. God says you're raised to hero status if you get your family in the house. Because in God's house, there are miracles. In God's house, there is protection under the blood, which was represented by that cord, that scarlet cord. There is salvation. There is deliverance. There is freedom. And there is all that you need. But it starts in the house. And again, we have an enemy who not only hates families, he hates the church. And he works tirelessly to destroy the church and give it a bad name. And we've all had a story of being hurt in the church. But actually, it's people that hurt us, not the church. Jesus knows that the enemy's plan is to get us offended, not only with our families, but with families of God, and leave the church. It's the enemy's ploy. Don't fall for it, because it's just a trick. And God loves his church so much that he calls it his bride. The church is the bride of Christ. And one day he's coming back. It's not a perfect church. We're not a perfect church. Don't ever look for a perfect church. There isn't one out there. But as parents, it's our job to get them in the house and to be an example to our children. As we read earlier with Ethan and Felicity, Proverbs 22:6, it says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. I was brought up in church. My family went to church. I don't ever remember missing a week of church. We just piled in the car, the six kids, mum and dad. No seatbelts then, you just jumped in the back of the station wagon, off you went to church. And you know, as you get a teenager, you think, oh, I've got to go to church again. But I was never game to say, no, I'm not going. I didn't think that wouldn't have worked with mum and dad. And I went. And then down the track, years later, as we marry and we're living our own life, I stopped going to church. I stopped thinking that it was important in my life until I had children. And then I wanted for them to have what I had. And I have regrets because I didn't get there when I should have. My daughter and her husband and their children, they're serving in a church. My son isn't yet, because he was at an age where he didn't get that. And I'm sure all of us today have regrets. But as young parents, what an opportunity to bring your children up in the ways of the Lord. And even though they may depart from it for a while, like I did, went off doing my own thing, they will have that seed in them and be assured that the day will come when they will be back to the Lord. You see, church was never optional for me, and it wasn't something that we hit, skipped and missed. Church is not something lesser of our priorities, and it should not be. Church is actually life and death, talking and taking about our families to heaven. There is nothing more important that the world has to offer, nothing. And when you know that your family is saved and you are saved, you're a hero in God's eyes. You are a success no matter what you don't do in life. You are a success in God's eyes. And God saw Rahab as a hero, and all she did was make sure her family were in the house so that they would be saved. And in the end, Rahab was rewarded for her faith and her courage. She married an Israelite and eventually became one of the ancestors of Jesus. And what happened was God's grace covered her past, and grace took up a messed up, dysfunctional family and saved them. And Rahab reminds us too that we are valuable in God's eyes, and that our faith and our courage will be rewarded. Then the next person is, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. And the mother and father of Moses hid him for 3 months after he was born. They did this because they had faith. There's that faith word again. They saw that Moses was a beautiful baby, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's order. Well, let me tell you that story. Moses' parents, we don't ever hear about them, but they're in the hall of faith. In Hebrews 11, have a look. Amram and Jochebed were their names. I don't know that we heard from much about them after that. But when Moses was born, there had been a decree in the land which Pharaoh had put out. It was a decree to kill all the boys, all the baby boys in the land. And the Bible says that Moses' parents did everything they could to hide and protect their child because they were not accepting this decree. And as parents, it is imperative to protect and to hide our children. Do not let their little innocent ears and eyes be exposed. And I know we can't hide them forever. But one day when they leave home and go off to university or get a job, move out, but they will do that one day, but in their young years, we have to protect them, to hide them and to shelter them from the world. And to guard their eyes and their ears and their minds and their little hearts so that we don't expose them to things that they don't need to see or hear and they don't need to know. Keep them safe. Protect them. Keep your homes modest and pure. And at some point, Moses' mother knew that she couldn't hide him any longer and she had to release him into the Egyptian system. She made him a beautiful little basket out of bulrushes. And you know, bulrushes is something that alligators are allergic to. There you go. And so she made this little basket out of bulrushes and she placed him in this basket and she slowly sent him up the river to release him. How heartbreaking. And off he goes into the Egyptian system. But what she built and wrapped around this little basket was her faith and her prayers. She had faith in God that he would save him and protect him when she no longer thought she could. The baby's older sister would run up the side of the river checking where this baby was. And you see, our lifestyles and our examples will go with our children. And when baby Moses was found up the river a little while later by Pharaoh's daughter, his mother knew that they would start to teach him the ways in Egypt, that there were 800 gods and that he should worship them all. But she had declared over him that he would grow up to be faithful and to worship the one true living God. And the best part of this story is that Pharaoh's daughter, who took this baby as her own, but she needed a nanny to nurse the baby. And so she went out to the Hebrew women and said, I need a nanny to nurse this baby. And she chose the birth mother, which she had no idea. And this mother, God, almost, like I just amazes me that God chose this mother who would have been heartbroken to send her baby. And she nursed and fed this baby. And then she was employed to bring him up and to take care of him. Isn't that just amazing, faithful God? And you know, Moses' story is a huge story and you can read that yourself. But in later years, Moses was the one who wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. And yet he was educated in Egypt. But that basket that his mother built for him, in the time that she hid him and the time that she got to mentor him and sat with him and fed him, she wasn't just feeding him milk. She was praying over him. She was declaring who he would be. And in that, when he got old enough, he said, I would rather have the approach with God's people than live in a palace with Pharaoh. There is power in hiding and protecting our children. Parents, do you have a walk with God that says something about you? Do they see that you're living a life that shows them who Jesus is? And I pray that for you too. And an example that when it's all said and done, they've seen Jesus. And they've seen that you would flee from evil and to be that example. And whatever your faults are, and we all have them, leave marks of distinction as God is looking for family heroes. And it just takes one to be a miracle in a family. And for those of us who our children have grown up, never stop believing and praying for our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, because God hasn't finished. And we can still be an example today, and we can still show the love and the grace of God in our families. Amen. Amen. Yeah.